Hi, welcome to Casual Coders, where we talk nerd. We've already been here before, but we're all back. Who would like to start off with the topic today?
Hello.
Kyle, didn't you have an extended topic you wanted to discuss?
Extended topic? I have topics. I don't know about extended.
Let's just start with a topic. Because you didn't talk very much about your topics.
Yep, that's fair. That's fair. Raspberry pies. Who here has used Raspberry
Pi
before?
One of my favorite types of pie.
They're delicious.
Too bad they're literally unobtainable right now.
Too bad they cost $100 each.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
I'm specifically talking about the circuit board, of course. And I recently had a Raspberry Pi Zero I was setting up. And for those who don't know, it's like this little...
single board computer.
Yeah, single board computer. It's like roughly the size of a credit card and has everything on it that you need. And in order to get one up and running when you buy one is you have a micro SD card that you take out of it and you flash an operating system on it called Raspbian.
Yeah, it's a Linux distribution.
I'm pretty sure they call it Raspi OS now.
Yeah, it's
Raspbian. It's based on Debian. I don't care. It's still always Raspbian.
Yes, yes.
As far as I'm concerned, it's Raspbian.
Yep.
Yep. So in...
Rasputin?
No.
So I was setting one up this week, like normal, as you do when you have a Pi. And I was setting it up so that way I can SSH into it once it's on, because it was a Raspberry Pi Zero, and I don't have a keyboard to like plug into it because it only has micro USB ports.
I found my adapters. I should have brought them.
Oh, man.
Or a monitor, yeah. Given that it's mid. Well, you
I found my adapters.
I don't. But yeah.
So I set it up and I got it connected to the internet, and I was trying to connect to it, and it kept saying access denied, access denied, access denied. I'm like, oh, I remember having this issue when I was like first getting into Pis and I didn't understand stuff. So I like Googled a bunch of different places. I even got a bunch of different like firmware files, thinking it was like maybe I chose the wrong firmware. I tried the light version of Raspbian. I tried the full version of RPi OS.
If you're gonna be doing a headless, you definitely should be using the light version.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to do originally, but I was like, I can't get it to work. I need that. What am I doing wrong? It has to be something. And so long, like I Googled tutorial and tutorial after tutorial, said I'm just being an idiot. The username is Pi and the password is Raspberry. Raspbian.
Oh yeah, sorry, Raspberry.
Yeah, Raspberry by default. Until I finally found some resource that said in the settings of the Raspberry Pi flasher, which before you had to download the image and like flash the cards yourself. Now the people who make the Raspberry Pi, are they like called like the Raspberry Pi Foundation, I think?
Yes. I think that's correct, yes. Yeah.
They have their own flasher now that they have you use. So you download the flasher and there's just a little settings file. When you click on the settings file, it actually has you set up right then and there user IDs and the ability to SSH in. And the reason why they have you do it this way now is because by default, the Raspberry Pi default username and password no longer works.
I'll be honest, I'm pretty angry at, I believe, the EU for passing legislation forcing this to be a thing.
Yeah, I think that's what I heard you say earlier.
I'm pretty upset about it, yeah. I don't think it's necessary. I understand, and I'm pretty sure the majority of Raspberry Pi users understand that this default password is known to everybody. It is
and you should change it immediately.
Insecure. You should change it immediately.
No one really does, though, because
nobody does.
You forget.
I don't do it. It's restricted to my local network.
I immediately
know, whatever.
Change it. Like, I'm the minority here. My Raspberry Pi does not have the default password. But my Raspberry Pi is also, I can SSH into it like from here. Like, I don't have,
yeah,
without a
yeah,
VPN. So for me, I had to do that or else I was giving myself a massive security risk.
Yeah, and my Pis don't do anything, right? They sit and occasionally run an Octoprint server or they power my blinds. There's nothing mission critical. I don't store credit card information or banking details or nothing. Like, if a Pi gets compromised, whatever, I'll just reflash it, whatever, do something. Like, it's not a huge mission critical thing. Obviously, if it becomes like an into a network, then it's an issue, but they're not exposed publicly anyway. So
yeah, but the problem is that you know that a ton of people, that's not something, it's like another thing to change, you know? And so people don't, and they deploy them and they put them places. And so everywhere that there's like random progs out there that use Raspberry Pi.
I'm still upset about it just because it's more steps in my process of configuring a Pi. And for a new person who doesn't know how to configure a Pi, it's another step. It's another blocker. It's something else that they have to learn that would add another roadblock up.
I will
getting
say
a new person in to using it.
Yeah, the biggest problem is the tutorials, and the IDE should make it a little bit or whatever I want to call it, the piece of software that flashes it.
All the tutorials are old now, right?
Yeah.
They have to be recreated for this new update.
I believe if you use the desktop version, it actually brings you a prompt when you first boot up to set a new password.
But how many people, I guess a newer...
A lot. No, I think more people use the desktop version, especially newer users use the desktop version than the headless version.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so used to only
Even the headless version actually brings it up on the display. I was like, what the heck? I installed...
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did. On the display when I plugged it in, because I was hoping to see its IP address. You know, like be displayed. And it didn't show the IP address because the very first thing it prompts you to do is make a new username.
Which, I'm assuming if you change the username, it no longer prompts then.
Most likely, but I don't have a keyboard. So that was my whole problem.
Well, I mean, if you were to go into the Raspberry Pi software and reflash it, then would it?
I couldn't because I had a keyboard, but most likely.
Can you create the default account, just Pi and Raspberry? Or does that also not allow you?
No, you're allowed. I tried.
Okay, at least they didn't go to the full length. If you're not allowed to even create a user with the default anything.
But then when you log in, every time it says, this is the default, like, this is bad. You shouldn't do it this way. Oh. It, like, yells at you.
Yeah,
doesn't
at least
anything.
It's open source, right? I can remove that and just create.
Well, no, all the other operating systems don't require that. So if you did like Manjaro for ARM, or did Armbian instead of Raspbian, it wouldn't do that.
The change, in my opinion, though, is actually really good in how they implemented it. Because after you click the settings icon, there's actually straight up checkboxes now that you can do enable SSH. You have the ability to connect your Wi-Fi right then and there. Because prior to this, you had to flash it. You had to open it. You'd have to make a file called
files. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you and I having to go through this like not that long ago, like a month ago or something.
Yeah. And there's like a process. You just had to know it, you know, or Google it. But now there's a checkbox and it literally just does it for you. So I think that part is actually better in terms of the user experience and flow.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm stuck in my ways. I'm old. I'm a boomer. We all know it. It comes up every episode.
Ian is a boomer trapped in a zoomer's body.
A boomer zoomer, if you will.
Although, do you play like crosswords and...
Not yet, Sudoku? But I'm probably about to. What else bring is there out the on puzzles. My phone? Yeah, right. I'm going to have to bring out the puzzles.
He's gonna do crossword puzzles.
I'm a boomer.
Newspaper.
I'm going to start having paper maps in my car.
Yeah. Watch the Price is Right.
Yeah, right.
Do you mind pulling out the GPS?
Boy, I'm gonna pull out GPS? My address real quick. We'll figure out which street we're on. Don't worry. We'll get home soon enough.
On my 18th birthday, my family is so excited to give me a present that I would be using for the rest of my life. It was a paper map to put in your car to always be there. And they're like, you don't realize how good of a gift this is. You are going to be using this literally forever. If you don't have this, you will literally die.
Yeah.
That's what they said. And since then, you know, we have Google Maps now and Apple Maps. And
well, y'all,
you also did a 180. You went from being the boomer that Ian is to being like one of the biggest tech guys I know.
One of the biggest tech bros we know. Yeah.
You want a Tesla, for God's sake.
I do. They're so cool.
He wants an IoT car.
Yeah.
They're all IoT. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. That's true. I really want to pull the SIM card out of my car.
I mean, we literally drove a car with a PlayStation controller, guys. I mean, it's so cool.
Like, yeah, but at least I own and control that. Like, I own that hardware. It's all open source. I can independently audit and verify that software. I've pulled the SIM out of the Comma 2.
Ian, you are forgetting that you are an edge case.
I am the definition. Like, you open a dictionary and look up edge case, and there's just a picture of me sitting there. Yeah, right, exactly. What's up? I'm an edge case. Yeah.
That's in your Tinder bio now.
No,
oh, wait,
you mean
Tinder tracks you. Sorry.
No, you mean
sorry,
open flame
open
bio.
Yeah, open flame.
Yeah,
open flame bio.
Ian, pitch open that. Flame. What pitch is open flame?
Open flame is our great new idea for an open source dating app where everyone is a bot. We're going to just grab...
Use GPT-3 to generate your chats.
Yeah, GPT-2 or GPT-3 to maybe generate chats. My original idea was not at all. In fact, my original idea... was literally just a blank screen. Like, you open it up, it looks exactly like Tinder, create your profile, et cetera, whatever. You create your profile, and then it just immediately dumps you in a no matches screen. Never asks for network permissions, nothing like that. You create your local profile, and then
it never gets uploaded anywhere. It's just on your phone.
Yeah, yeah. Just on your phone, nothing. But I think the better idea is to grab this person does not exist for profile pictures, mm-hmm. and you can swipe
and generate random women.
Yeah,
just
right.
On the
it
thing.
Just generates
have
random
GPT-3
people.
Generate like descriptions of these women.
Not even descriptions.
You just put in their name, and then you see what GPT-3 spits out as a description about the person.
Randomly, mom of three will not date you if you're not 6 feet tall.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm a communist, but you have to make six figures.
Yeah, we. We just scrape regular Tinder or something and then just AI generate a whole ton of like bios and whatever. Just hard code all that into the app. So you download this like 1 gigabyte application and it just lets you swipe infinitely through photos that it's downloading from the
app. Did you ever get a match?
Yeah, right. You can like match.
Yeah, you get a match and then GPT-2 generates all of your conversations.
Do you match with everybody though?
I was
or
thinking
will
that
it?
You could.
No, it's a 1 in 3 chance.
I was thinking we use a random value. So I don't know, 1% chance that you get a match and you match with them. And then they just never respond because they're an AI and they literally don't exist.
I told you, GPT-2 will make them think they exist.
How have you guys ever seen the equation for the in the old Pokemon games whenever you try to catch a Pokemon?
There's an equation to like determine if you
it's
get
a
it.
Stupid ass equation.
I've
it's
seen
long.
Like notebooks filled with this stuff on like probabilities and how to maximize chances to get Chinese stuff.
I'm assuming your crazy ways. Friends were doing this.
Yes, yes. They are super into Pokemon.
If I mathematically figure out the shiny chance and then I reverse the equation, I can figure out the exact time, date, and location I must be to catch a shiny.
Exactly. And one of my friends actually wants me to make a hardware device that will shiny farm for him.
Why not just why don't you just run it in an emulator and like write
and just give yourself the shinies using yeah. cheat codes? Yeah.
He wants to get it legitimately.
Through what app?
Legitimately.
What game?
Like Pokemon Emerald, for example, or Pokemon
on the old Game Boy.
He wants to get it legitimately,
yeah.
but after
so
engineering
why don't, okay,
hardware
yeah, again,
to force,
why don't we just yeah. okay, let's take a step back here, okay? Mm-hmm. This is for your friend. I don't know who he is, yep. but why on earth do we have to run this on original hardware?
He's thought about it both ways. I think he'd be okay with either, but he thinks that it would be really cool if he has like a physical original, because people now, I don't know if you know, online, if you go on like, for example, eBay or Facebook Marketplace and try to buy old Pokemon games.
Oh, I'm sure they're ridiculous.
They're ridiculously expensive
oh,
to yeah. the point where like 2/3 or 3/4 of them are actually fake.
Oh,
they're not
really?
Actually manufactured by Nintendo. Like people buy
just
cartridges.
ROMs.
Yeah. And they have ROMs that they put on
dump them onto him.
Yeah. And so apparently, like, having an actual original cartridge is, like, a big deal. And so he wants to actually put it... He has one actual original
okay,
cartridge.
Okay, well, then my next thing to say is there is a device that allows you to play your original cartridges on a PC using emulation.
Yeah, I've seen that. The LTT
but it's,
well,
it's with the ROM
he's hoping
still.
That he gets sued by Nintendo so he can shut them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think it'd be a cool project. It wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, well, the thing that I think would be hard is, like, how do
I'm
you...
I'm not destroying a Game Boy, though. I refuse.
Well, no, the thing is, like, I was
he wants a device to press the buttons.
Yeah, I was literally thinking about putting a device to press the buttons.
Servo motors or something?
Yeah, literally, like, and you just clamp it in or whatever, and it, like, because it would, instead of, like, software, which you can't really see, it makes it a good project
oh,
that you can actually
it, like,
see,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a hardware project of some form.
Yeah.
I get it.
The other thing is, how do you take the camera input and, like, grab it in such a way that you get what you need, you know? Because there's a lot of information
so
on the screen.
The same way that people make RuneScape bots.
How do they make RuneScape bots?
They just use stuff. Have you ever looked into them?
I did, yeah. For a little bit, because one of our friends is super into RuneScape botting. I don't know if you know. But
is it Russell?
It is Russell, yeah.
London is, too.
Well, he hates bots. He wanted me to write him a bot because he got banned. So he's like, you know
oh
what? Fuck this. Are you looking at the prices?
So does Dave.
Original authentic Pokemon Emerald version, $200.
Oh, my God.
Plus yeah. an additional $23 shipping from the United States.
It's crazy out there.
Sorry, Russell. We outed you.
Wow.
Anyway.
But yeah, so I've looked into it, and I was going to make one, and I see how I could hack it. I just don't know what the best way... Like, I think I could make
everything
it work.
I've seen uses optical character recognition with, like, OpenCV and Python. Everything I've seen uses that.
Seems reasonable and easy enough to me.
Yeah, so I think that we could just use
hey,
OCR.
We've already got a guy who knows a little bit of OpenCV there, hey?
Everyone's looking at me ominously. I don't like this.
This is where I don't mention I've used it before, too.
yeah, Kyle.
Trevor's
the
OpenCV.
Well, no, I've definitely exactly. used it yeah. more than Kyle at this point because we used it for one of our startups. But anyway.
What's that? The 52nd startup?
Which one?
54th, I think.
Yeah, right. How many? At this point, we
the
just got to roll
keeps 2D6. Going up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And just multiply the two or something or just add the two. You roll 2D6 and it's like, okay, this is his 26th startup.
Anyway,
speaking of random chance in the Open Flame application, it'd be really funny if once ever someone joined, it generated like your hotness score, and that was actually your percentage of matches
oh
against
my
the.
That'd be so good.
You have a 100% chance of matching.
Yeah, so it'd be match, or you like swipe forever and you don't get a match.
Yeah, everyone, it just massive list of AIs.
I wonder if there's an AI that will like you can give someone an image to the AI and it'll rate how attractive you are.
There is. I don't know how well it works, but there is at least
have
one.
Have you seen The Social Network?
I've not actually. I really wanted
to. No, I did not see how Mark Zuckerberg stole Facebook.
So, from
don't give too many spoilers if you can.
This is within like the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Okay.
They're at Harvard, and he got drunk and pissed off at his girlfriend, Mark Zuckerberg. Jesse Eisenberg played him.
Okay.
And it was hot or not, and it just showed a whole bunch of pictures. But they wrote an AI to show you what you thought would be the hottest girls in the school.
Oh.
And you would vote on them.
That sounds like a good way to get a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, he pissed off a lot of people.
Is this a true story? Like, did he actually do
this? I believe so.
I think, yeah. I think
I believe most of the Social Network is true.
I know that he didn't actually... I know he didn't actually get sued. He did get... Like, people got mad at him, but I don't think he
got sued by...
He got sued by one person.
By Saverin.
Yeah. Did he get sued?
Because of how the operating agreement for the LLC was written, one of the guys' shares was, like... takeawayable in a way.
Oh, which in the state of Ohio, it's very difficult to do that.
Yeah, it's not that it wasn't that I think his shares got taken away. I think it's just like when more shares were created, his got diluted and other people's didn't.
Oh, so he didn't get additional shares to make up for his dilution.
Yeah.
They go over that in the movie.
Yeah. Which even though ideally in the startup world with when your shares get diluted, they're worth the same whenever they get diluted.
Yeah, normally.
That's the ideal situation. That doesn't always happen.
Yeah, even in public companies, you know, if you own X shares of a company, when the stock splits, quote unquote,
you still have that many shares.
Yeah, now you own twice as many shares. It's just the same percentage.
Value. Yeah,
because everyone's shares doubled.
Yeah, for example, when Apple did a 4-to is it Apple or Amazon? One of them did a 4-to-1 split recently, or some sort of split.
Mm-hmm.
And then like everyone was freaking out. Like, am I gonna have less? I'm like, no, you're gonna have the same amount in monetary value.
Yeah, one of the reasons though is like it. What you see when you log on the app is the stock price, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So any user, you can't see all of the data and what percentage you actually have, and dealing with percentages that are 0.00000234 is, like, really hard for humans. So instead, you see, my stock that was worth $90 is now worth $40. What am I doing? Because they, you know, when the stock doubles, roughly the stock halves, roughly.
Got it.
I would give the Social Network a watch. It'll definitely make you kind of want to delete your Facebook account if you have one, but it's pretty good.
I'm
afraid to let Ian watch it then, because he's just going to go off the face of the planet. We won't see him again. He's going to be like,
yeah, sorry guys, I moved to a cabin in the woods now. You'll never find me again. Living off the land, that's right. I don't even have a cell phone plan anymore. You'll have to contact me over Signal or the Tor network.
Yeah. The satellite phone.
Yeah.
I launched that satellite back there. That's my boy.
His internet provider is just me with like a laptop. He sends a carrier pigeon with an SD card out to me, and he gives me a text list of what websites he wants to download this week.
Yeah. Did you ever see that? They actually had like an upload speed versus a carrier pigeon.
Oh yeah, IP over carrier pigeon. That's a real standard.
The carrier
pigeon won.
Obviously, yeah.
Anyway, speaking of shows that are techie,
if we make a robot carrier pigeon. Sorry,
that's just a drone. Which we could do that. We should do that as a casual coders video. Uploading our videos using carrier pigeon versus uploading our videos using cable internet.
I think a lot of our videos, we're going to have a line in it. So it's basically going to be something along the lines of, you'll probably ask us why we didn't do X.
Well, we tried.
That's moving on. That's a Michael Reeves thing to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of shows that are good for techies to watch, this is the opposite. I think this would be give you a good insight into my industry, the startup world, Ian. I think you would actually find this quite funny.
This is number 55.
Yeah. You guys ever seen? I only watched like the first half of the first season. I really want to continue watching it, but we don't have HBO. Well, I don't have HBO Max on my phone. You guys ever seen Silicon Valley?
I've seen the first couple episodes.
You mean you're like in the second eight. Home?
Not yet.
The TV show.
Give it 3 days.
Give me 6 months.
There. Yeah, right.
Hot dog or not hot dog?
Hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if it took him 6 days to become an Apple soy boy, how long is it going to take him to move to Silicon Valley, right? He's going to be at his job for, I don't know, another week or two, and he's going to be like, sorry, guys, I'm leaving Ohio to go to Silicon Valley.
You kid, but I might be going to San Diego in like a week.
Yeah, you're going to stay there.
I'm not going to leave. I'm just
you're going to stay there and not leave.
So when's your flight get back? What flight?
What flight? Yeah, right. Your girlfriend's like, come home, Chandler. And you're like, sorry, new house, everything. I got the keys right now.
If you're like, you should have put a ring on.
I would have been shot if that happens. Oh, wait, Tesla, guns aren't allowed in Silicon Valley. It's fine.
Ooh!
You're saying Chandler.
Silicon Valley. It's a really funny show.
Have you seen it?
I've only seen like the first half of the first season because I haven't had a chance to continue it. But like just that first half of the season, one of my favorite. Like, so like the opening, which I'm just going to tell you guys like a little bit about the opening episode. Quentin and Ian, they go to this party where their friend's startup had been bought out by Google.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to this party and everyone there is like tech millionaires and everything. And they're all crazy. And they're making jokes. And the Indian guy goes, man, Kid Rock is like the poorest person here. Because Kid Rock is like performing a concert for these Silicon Valley nerds.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Which, as you know, Kid Rock is the king of white trash music. Anyway,
I don't know who Kid Rock
Northern
is.
Northern Michigan. So.
Northern Michigan white trash music. Yes.
All right. That's where he's from.
Yeah, I know. That's the whole meme.
I don't know.
It is a hilarious show about like how what it's like to be a founding member of a startup. It is so. And Haley's like, Haley watched it with me. She's like, does that happen? So, yes, that does happen.
Yeah, some of the things time. Do happen.
Yeah, like, they're not. It's not all memes. Like, yes, obviously.
Some of them are memes, though.
Some of them great. Are memes. Like, it is definitely embellished for TV. But there are, like, things that happen. On the, like, okay, obviously, I don't think Steven went on an acid trip to come up with a name for the damn company.
But he could have.
You don't know. Yeah. How did you come up with the name for this company? Yeah, dude, I was like tripping balls.
It's some divine inspiration.
Yeah.
It just came to me.
But, like, that's, like, the whole joke of it. Like, the main character gets, like, sued because he's stealing the name of another company. And, like, he tricks this tech industry, this tech guy, or this he tricks this guy who's selling pipes or something into thinking that he's removing data centers and he's, like, this little startup out of a garage. But then his business associate writes an article about his startup that's supposed to be worth $1 billion, and this guy finds out about it, and they try to sue him or... He won't give them the name or whatever for anything less than $200,000, which is their entire budget.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like things like that happen. Like it you have to be, it's very interesting show.
Yeah. My favorite thing was like how in one of the episodes, a guy, the main character basically comes up with an algorithm that's able to do something, right? And he's trying to monetize mm-hmm. it and he keeps pitching it to people. And everyone's basically saying, no, this is impossible.
This is the first episode.
This is impossible.
This is literally the first episode.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it just goes to show, like, it's totally a true thing when you have a startup and you go and you pitch people. Like, most people just don't agree with what you're doing or think it's even possible. And you just have to work through it.
They say, oh, it's not possible. Oh, it's not possible. Oh, it's not possible. Until all of a sudden, the owner of the company he works for finds out about it and says, I'll buy out your startup for $10 million. I'll buy your whole idea for $10 million. And then... a billionaire who he had talked to the previous day says, no, I'll give you $300,000, but I want 10% of your company or 10% of the revenue from this product. So now he has to think between, do I want to sell my product outright, but be a millionaire immediately? Or do I want to potentially pursue a business that could turn into the next Google? That was his decision. And he
what would you choose, Ian?
Yeah, what would you choose?
I don't know. What is it? It's an algorithm.
Let's say you invented. Let's just get rid of what it is. Let's just say you invented something and you were given two choices. You're given the choice of either we will give you.
You invented heated dresser drawers.
Circling it back. Let's go.
No.
All right. So I've invented some idea.
And your options are $10 million. We'll buy your entire idea out right now. Or $300,000 for 10% of your potential company that you could make with this product.
It depends on how committed I am to the product. If I think it's the next big thing and I'm actually willing to spend the rest of my life working on this thing and dropping all of, like, you know.
You said you'd spend the rest of your life. Just work on it for like 5 years, become if, like Mark
yeah,
Zuckerberg
right.
and dip.
Yeah, sure. I could do that. But $10 million is also life-changing money. So if
that is life-changing money, but that is not... I really don't want to sound like a really rich white person here, but $10 million is not as much money as you think.
It's not, and I'm aware of that. So,
yes, could you live your rest of your life
depends.
On $10 million?
Yeah, probably.
If you
yes.
managed it correctly, yes.
Yes, yeah. And you won't live like a millionaire. You'll
yes,
live
yes,
like a
yes,
normal
and you'll
guy.
Live like a normal person.
I Yeah, right. And so that's
which, honestly, I'd be fine with. I would live my rest of my life as a slightly above average individual.
Yeah, would you? You'd have to, like... graphics card that's coming out.
Honestly,
and you're going to be like, I can't necessarily get that yet.
I feel like I would take the $10 million and continue on the path that I'm currently
going.
So
you would just
the
be the millionaire next door who doesn't let you know he's rich and still goes to work every day.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Take the $10 million, invest a whole shitload of it, and then, whatever, let that grow and build and do my life. And
so
then
when you can retire, you'll retire, have like $100 million.
Yeah, I'll retire way earlier
you'll
than
be,
I have
you
to.
You will be a fat fire. Man.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do. It depends, though. If I really like the idea and I think that it has the option to or the ability to become the next huge thing, then yeah, sure, I'll follow that for a while and see.
So I'm in like the middle. I'm weird. I'm like in the middle. Like on the one hand, yeah, I kind of agree with, okay, $10 million would be really cool. But at the same time, I'm working for a company where we're creating like a completely new product, and I'm definitely on board with this product, and I 100% want to see it through fruition and like become a big thing. So like, I think as having never experienced this side yet, the $10 million side, but having experienced, not personally, but having secondhand experienced the second side, since I'm young, I would rather take the risk and try to become the next Zuckerberg, the next Bill Gates, the next whatever. But if I were like, let's say I'm 22 now, let's say I was 30 and me and Haley had a kid on the way. No fucking way I'm going to take that $200,000.
Yeah, you take the $10 million.
I'm taking the $10 million. I'm getting the hell out.
Yep.
I think today I would take the startup opportunity.
How about you, Quentin?
So I could 100% live the rest of my life as a normal person.
You wouldn't be upset about that.
I've already thought this over. I've had the discussion with myself several times and realized
in the shower because you're bored.
Yeah.
Obviously. You're thinking about it. Right, you don't practice your voices while you're in the shower.
Oh my God,
I
so
see
good.
All that is. I...
I do it constantly. That's where I practice my voices for D&D, in the shower.
So I think the house that I'm living in now, you guys have all saw it, would probably be the biggest house that I would actually buy.
For just yourself, or would this be like...
For myself.
For yourself, okay.
And then I'd just live...
Yeah, it's a decent house.
I'd pay for it in cash.
In cash, yeah. You don't have to have a house payment of $10 million.
In cash. I'd pay off everything I have. I'd buy all brand new appliances and furniture for the house. If I meet someone down the line that...
The house has plenty of room. Like, you could easily have kids and, like, still have plenty of room.
Yeah. I've already had the discussion with myself. Like, I don't need, like, extremely fancy living. I don't need an extremely big house.
Don't need to live in an extravagant mansion. And, no. Yeah, right.
But have you heard of Lamborghini?
Yeah, I'm not actually. Do you know me?
I'm kidding. I know.
I like classic cars.
I can see you, though, spending $1 million on a DeLorean.
For the record,
he knows
he is
it's
right.
True.
Well, did you? Well,
yes, you don't have to finish that statement. Yes, I've seen the article for the new ones coming out.
Well, I want
to
talk about it, but we'll continue. We'll do that as the next topic.
But yeah, no, I could completely live the rest of my life on $10 million and be perfectly fine living as a normal person. Obviously, I'd pay off my vehicle. I would buy a DeLorean. it's actually already on my list as my next car to buy.
Dude,
and then I probably
like
buy
40 grand. They're not cheap. Not the new one. I'm talking about like a classic one.
What if it came with a stipulation? You also
do
still
you know
had to work
how much
there for
my
5 years.
Truck was?
Oh, like that's $10 million?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Like you sell the idea, but you also have to sell 5 years of your time. Like you have to work there for 5 years.
I
while
think at
get
that point
going.
I'd go to the 300 option.
Really? So you just 180 it and say, nah, I don't want to work for you.
I think I would, yeah.
Yeah, you
really?
Just 180? Honestly, if I were taking the $10 million, I'd say
sorry,
okay.
Maybe I'm interpreting this incorrectly. I receive $10 million and only $10 million. They're not going to pay me for
no,
that.
No, no, no. They assume you pay. They say you get $10 million and you're now the project lead for this project.
I think that's fine, yeah.
Yeah,
if you were the project lead,
now they'll probably give you a raised salary while you're at it.
Yeah, I'd probably do that. I don't know.
So if you would you still sell the $10
million? So I would have to sell for the $10 million under the stipulation that I'd have to work there for 5 years.
Yeah. And you would be like the head of this project. This would be your project.
I would do that under the stipulation that I would still get an annual salary. At least if it were like 6 figures, I'd be okay. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
6 figures in Ohio, you're balling, man.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
And you're required to move to Silicon Valley.
You'll make $300,000, but you have to live in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, no.
And you get $10
million. My savings. You get $10 million.
That's
you get
gone.
Million.
Just disappeared.
You get $300,000 a year, and you have to live off Soylent for the next 5 years. So,
exception of the price, I actually wouldn't mind, because there's a lot to do in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to go see a Dodgers game. I'd love to go see an Angels game.
Bro, that's like a guy's trip, though. That's not like the rest of your life or 5 years of your life.
Like
5 years is a long time.
I went to my first Blue Jackets game in 2020.
5%
of the hockey, and I've been to like at least 2-3 games a year since then. I love hockey. They got the Los Angeles Kings there. I'd be perfectly fine with that.
All right, Kyle.
5 years.
You keep asking the questions, would you?
Kyle. Yeah. Let's hear your.
I have a response that's basically exactly what Ian's is. It depends on how interested in the project I am and how where I see it going. If I see it going 10, 15x when I'm offered, then I liked it enough, I would stay. If I thought it was going doubled of maybe 5 times as much and someone else would take on the project, I would sell, because it doesn't disable me from doing more projects, and I am a guy who has lots and lots of ideas. So
actually, $10 million would enable you to do more, because you wouldn't have to work as much.
Right.
Or either that, or I just get to change what I work on, you know?
Yeah, right. You have no fear of losing your job because you have $10 million in the bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Let that build, whatever. Invest it. Hire someone to help you manage that. And then, yeah, just let it grow.
Well, yeah, and then like...
But then let's throw back the you have to work... You get $10 million and you have to work that...
And yeah, and you are the project lead. Like, you are the leader of the project at your company.
Yeah, then it depends directly on where I thought the company... Or where I thought the product would go. If it was more than 10, like I said, X, I would keep it.
If for yourself.
It was, yeah, for myself. And, or, you know, everyone else who's working with me. Or if I thought it was less or about what it was worth, then I would still work 5 years.
You would, $10 million, and I think this project's going to flop, but I'm going to be the project lead anyway.
I'm not saying it's going to flop. I think it was valued correctly.
Okay.
You know? So it doesn't flop, but it's also worth what they're paying for it.
So roughly $10 million plus your salary, plus any engineers they hire to work with you salary.
Yeah. And well, I guess I was assuming that this product was also not my own. Like, maybe it was a product of 5 people, let's say, and each of us is getting $10 million. So it's a $50 million product.
Oh, my.
You know?
Well, in the startup, like in Silicon Valley, though, it was one person who made the product, and that $10 million would have all been his. It was like agreed upon that he would have kept all of it.
Yep. Then, yeah, I'd say $10 million.
You'd take the $10 million? Yeah.
Yeah. It depends. Did I make a $100K product? Is Dresser Doors, does. Heated dressers have a $1 billion market cap.
We still need to do that project, by the way. Like, that'll be a winter project. We'll wait until the winter to do that.
Can we make that legitimately cause the dresser to, like, catch on fire, like, as a meme?
And then we can test out Quentin's fire suppression system.
Yes, we could. Okay, yeah.
All right, I'm on board.
It's like an additional feature, you know? It's like,
self-destruct your clothes when your mom comes over.
Yeah, if you get really upset, your significant other. Terrible.
Yes, or honey, those are your socks.
Just activate a little toggle switch on the back that just catches it on fire.
Yeah. In 5 hours, no, you have enough time to get away.
You have enough time to get to Mexico.
Yeah.
All right, so the next topic I wanted to discuss real quick was DeLorean has officially announced that they're coming back. They're making a new car.
Bum, all bum, electric. Bum.
All electric. It's cars. It's called the DeLorean Alpha 5. It's all electric.
Does it look like the normal DeLorean?
It's very strange looking, honestly.
It's very futuristic looking.
Yeah, it's very strange. I'll
like Cybertruck futuristic or like...
Yes.
Get like ready, boys. We're having Back to the Future Part 4.
It looks like it would belong in Cyberpunk. Like, it would fit right in Cyberpunk.
Is it the Alpha 5?
Yeah, DeLorean Alpha 5.
I don't know if I spelled
it. I know a lot of people don't like those, but I actually really like it.
D-E-L.
Like those types of stuff.
Oh, I got an O in there. It'll pull it up, I hope.
Because the one thing I don't like about normal cars is they all look the same, and they have looked the same for like a long time, it feels like.
I feel like it's got that.
It's gonna have gullwing. It's gonna have gullwing doors.
Like the original DeLorean.
Like the original DeLorean. It's supposed to have a 0 to 88 time because Back to the Future of 4.8 seconds.
Can I see?
Yeah, that's like I'm trying to.
Honestly,
I think I
like the original
image.
More.
Damn straight.
Let's see. Whoa.
It's supposed to have a 0 to 88 time of 4.8 seconds, a 0 to 60 time of like 3.5 or something like that. And then it's supposed to has a limited top speed of 130 miles an hour, which I thought was kind of slow.
This is not at all what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be way more angular, like the original DeLorean.
I like the original DeLorean way more.
So do I.
Apparently, the original rumor was that they were just going to take the original DeLorean and then just add electric motors to it. But then they're like, nah, we're going to make a whole new car.
I wish they'd done that. That would have been way cooler.
Just reproduce the original DeLorean with electric powertrain.
Hell like yeah, absolutely.
Tesla convert a DeLorean. Maybe that's what you should do, Quentin. Cool. You should, instead of buying the new DeLorean, you should get an old DeLorean and we should swap out the motor with the Teslas.
No, I'd LS swap it if I were going to
put a Corvette motor in it.
What's an LS swap?
It's just the same engine that your dad's Corvette has.
Yeah, same engine that Corvettes have. Yeah. I'd LS swap it.
Throw in a V8, LS. Yeah.
Ah, I see V8. Engine. I've heard V8, but I've not heard LS for whatever reason.
LS is like GM's premier motor that's like you can. Apparently, LS motor out of a pickup truck.
Have I mentioned
can be tuned to 800 horsepower and not blow up?
Nice. Whoa. Have I mentioned the Rich Rebuilds LS Tesla swap?
Oh yeah, he did a Tesla V8 swap.
Is an LS swap.
Oh, interesting.
He thought it would be funny.
Well, no, because the car was otherwise non-functional.
Oh, as in the motor.
It was
broke
a flood.
It
was a flooded Tesla or some destroyed, damaged Tesla.
Was it water damage?
I think it was. Everything in the car was damaged, destroyed. It's a Tesla, so it's obviously you can't
Tesla
fix
wouldn't
it.
Fix
it's
it.
Tes- it. Yeah, right. It's totaled all that. So how do you repair the car? You have to put a gas engine in it. There is no other
Tesla
way.
Tesla does not have replacement parts right now.
They won't sell them to you anyway. Yeah. They're like Apple.
I think they'll get legislated to the ground in the EU. I think they're going to have to.
I hope.
Aren't all their designs like open source though?
No.
Who? Tesla?
No, yeah. Not even
no,
a little
not
bit.
Even
they're
close.
They're the Apple
shit.
Of the car world.
They're the
they
Apple
will not let
world.
You have anything.
You can't put,
maybe that's
you can't
why Silicon Valley
tires
likes them so much.
On a Tesla.
Yeah. I thought, wait, what do you mean you can't? You can't like take it to a tire shop?
I was talking with one of my friend's parents and they could totally be wrong. However, they mentioned that one of their friends or someone they knew took a Tesla or tried to take a Tesla for a road trip in LA, popped a tire or something like 50 miles away from home, and then literally had to lug the car back 50 miles and spent a whole day looking for a shop who could replace the tire. And nobody except Tesla was able to replace the tire on their car.
I think that's just Silicon Valley
being
garbage.
Yeah, that's like service stuff. I'm pretty sure like all of...
Every
like,
car
no,
needs service.
You should, okay, you should be able to... and like. With right to repair, you should be able to buy any part for your car and repair it. Even Ford, their electric Mustang, you can just buy one of their motors.
Yeah.
You can just go out and buy one if it breaks.
You can
replace the battery on the new Ford electric car, no problem.
Well, I think you can. It's just you void any warranties and stuff that you have.
That also doesn't
But
track.
Warranties on cars are usually crap anyway. The only company that has good warranties on their cars is Kia, and even then... I don't know. There's only one company that has an okay warranty.
Yeah, and it shouldn't void your warranty anyway. Replacing a part, as long as it remains functional, should not void
especially
the warranty.
Especially if it's an OEM stock part, it should not affect it whatsoever.
Honestly,
if you open a phone, but if you open any device,
technically it's illegal,
Morrison
by the
Moss,
way, to void the warranty
I don't know,
from
whoever.
Open any device.
The Warranty Act of 1980-something, I think, says that it is unlawful for you to be denied service for simply opening your device. The manufacturer has to be able to prove that you caused that damage in some way. Otherwise, it is covered under the warranty.
And their solution to that is add stickers.
And seals that break.
Which is funny because they're not legal. There's no legal bearing behind that. But the problem is they know that no average consumer is going to take them to court for that.
Yeah.
So they just do it. They just don't care. But if a consumer or like a phone repair shop or something got big enough to like sue them, they would whoever the phone manufacturers would lose immediately.
Here's an example. You have an audio interface, call it a Scarlett whatever, 2i2 on your desk, right? Mm-hmm. One of the capacitors pops inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of warrantying it or whatever, you open up that device, desolder the capacitor, and solder a new one on. And it starts functioning, whatever. Some other issue happens and that you can't repair, so you send it in for warranty replacements. They should have to honor their warranty. You didn't break the device. You fixed it.
Yeah, you fixed it initially.
But you didn't break the device. Now, if I open the Scarlett Solo and take a drill and drill a hole through the PCB and now try to send it back for warranty, absolutely, I've broken the device. That's on me. I drilled a hole in the PCB. Then they have grounds to deny a warranty replacement. But otherwise, they really shouldn't have grounds, and I don't believe they do.
What if you solder it on the capacitor, but you solder it on backwards, and then you turn it on, and it breaks the device?
Well, in
then
theory,
that is
should break
your
the
issue.
But you can't prove that that's what broke it.
Then that's, I that's think not that's, their problem.
That's not really the consumer's problem.
That's not the consumer's problem.
Know.
They try.
They have to prove, right? I'm sure there are things that you can do electrically to verify, yeah, you soldered that on backwards, and we can see that this component here is broken and damaged, and all of these fuses tripped, and this resistor is burned, and yeah, that wouldn't be caused by a capacitor popping.
So a better example that I like to give instead is like repairing a laptop. Say, for example, you had a laptop that had replaceable RAM and replaceable storage, and the RAM died. And you went, and instead of buying HP OEM RAM, you went and just went to Best Buy and bought a Kingston kit, and you put in the Kingston RAM kit. And then the motherboard dies on the laptop, and you want to RMA slash like warranty repair that laptop.
This is a way better example.
And a lot of times HP will see, that's not HP OEM RAM. You replaced a part. We're not repairing this.
Yeah, because they can't prove that. They didn't test it, you know, with that in mind.
Correct. They didn't test it with that in mind. However, if it was unrelated to the RAM, they should repair it. If they can prove the RAM is what killed it, fine. The consumer is at fault. But they can't prove that.
Is standardized anyway.
And yeah, that's standardized. You should be able to swap any RAM and anything. I should be able to take Dell RAM, put it in HP. I should be able to take HP RAM, put it in my Asus. Should all work together. It's the whole point. It's standardized. It's JEDEC standard.
But their operating agreement or whatever, or their warranty or whatever, states that in this configuration, this will continue to work and we can guarantee that. It doesn't say this in different configurations that have never been tested. We can guarantee that.
If your product won't work with different standard RAM, you have a problem. That's my response. Then your product is the problem. Then the consumer also should. Now, again, I am making the logical fallacy that we are not average consumers.
That is also true, yeah.
We are tech-savvy enough to say...
We're tech-savvy enough to understand things. All four of us are.
Because Quentin swapped out the RAM in his laptop before. Quentin built a PC and everything, and he understands that, okay, this PC takes this PC can take any type of DDR4 RAM. Mm-hmm. And he understands that. But the average consumer is going to be like, totally what the hell is
DDR2
RAM?
DDR2 RAM is really, really cheap.
Yeah.
The average consumer is going to be like, sure what? No, the average consumer is not even going to do that. The average consumer is going to be like, what the hell is RAM?
Yep.
I'm not calling the average consumer stupid. It's just that, yes, from... When you're talking about the average consumer, you are
jump.
Correct,
am I allowed
Kyle.
To make that jump that say, yeah, your average consumer is not necessarily stupid, but just
unknowledgeable about
uninformed.
Yeah,
right. So your typical uninformed consumer is going to make some big error and
that's why they do it. They don't do it for the tech-savvy users like us. They do it for the average consumer, which is the problem. A tech-savvy user or a PC repair shop is my best example, should be allowed to repair it. Or even just like, again, the average prosumer should be able to replace the RAM if they need to. Hell, I don't even care about replacing the RAM. If my RAM were to die in a warranty covered laptop, I would send that laptop back. I would. You know why? Because it's Dell's fault. And now if I said, oh no, I have 8 gigs of RAM in this laptop, I need 16, and I upgrade the RAM, that's where I have a problem if it breaks. I don't think I think they should still honor their warranty.
Here's another thought for you.
And there's companies that do honor their warranty. And I know that they're a very new company, so I can't really use them very well. But I know for a fact that Framework will still honor their warranty.
Here's a thought. Computer that you received, but it's got a small SSD.
This is going back to our Right to Repair episode.
Yeah, I know. It's got a tiny little SSD in it. So you open up the computer when you first get it, and you pull out their small, whatever, 100 gigabyte SSD, and you insert your own brand new M.2 SSD. Screw it in, whatever, works fine for, I don't know, 6 months. And then a USB port dies on the side of it or something. So you send that back for warranty replacement, and they tell you, no, you replace the SSD. We're not going to replace your USB port.
It's unrated. There should be absolutely no way those hardwares
whatsoever
should change. The RAM should not cause my CPU to die. That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, but what if they engineered their thing in such a way that in their configuration
they get
more performance in
some way? Then that company does not need my support, and they can screw themselves.
Yeah, but It's like...
This is me complaining. Again, this is coming from an Apple soy boy, so take this with a grain of salt.
And I also am mainly on your guys' side. I'm mainly talking about from the point
of...
I know,
you just like to play
You're playing
devil's
advocate in this case.
Sure. But, let's say I did something to super specialize... Like, let's say I made an electric skateboard, right? And I specifically tuned this section of parts that work together such that it goes faster than normally these parts are rated for. And it doesn't consistently because I've tested it and I know it works. this configuration I know works. Mm-hmm. And technically, each of these parts is swappable. But if you swap any one of them, any one of the parts could fail because they're all operating outside of their spec. But I know in this specification it works.
Again, this is a case of
I'm going to say
engineering
technically the
bad.
Manufacturer is at fault. But yeah. But say, for example, you replace the resistor with the exact same resistor, some component faults, breaks, whatever, and you replace it with the exact same component.
Just like how you should not write code that isn't modular and cannot be swapped, you should not make a product that does not have parts that can be not be swapped. That's yeah. Somebody who doesn't hate Apple, but there is things that Apple does as a company that I do not like. It bothers me to no end that Apple made their new Apple Silicon devices have non-swappable RAM. I understand why they did it. That does not change my opinion of I am upset they did it, if that makes sense. Because they did it because the RAM is unified and it can be shared fully. You can have, I have 16 gigs of RAM in my new laptop. 12 of those can go to the GPU or up to I think 13 gigabytes of RAM can go to the GPU if needed. But also all of it can be used by my CPU. And that's why they did it. But if any one row of those RAM chips dies and I don't have AppleCare, I'm screwed.
Yeah, you need a whole new computer.
I actually do think Apple does have a limited warranty where they will cover specifically hardware failures. But if I were to, say, spill a cup of coffee on my laptop, then that would not be covered. But if a specific hardware device that is not the fault of the consumer dies, then they'll replace it. At the very least, repair it. I would hope repair it, because that would be a waste of an entire MacBook if they wouldn't repair it.
They won't repair it. They'll just swap out your motherboard.
Will they at least put my storage back in?
Nope. Storage is gone. The instant anything happens to your Apple device, you can kiss any of the
Then why would they swap the motherboard? Why don't they just give me a new laptop?
They probably will.
Whatever is cheaper.
Honest. Whatever is cheaper for them.
For them to do.
But anytime an Apple device dies, specifically you can kiss the storage goodbye. Doesn't matter if it was a replaceable SSD, they'll still wipe it.
I was specifically told not to buy AppleCare because I'm getting an upgrade in 6 months.
I would recommend AppleCare for any device that you are planning on keeping, though. AppleCare is actually pretty
easy. You don't own the device either, though. So
that's true.
It's not really
not legally my device. This is legally the company's device, yeah. So if it does die, it's not my responsibility. Well, if I kill it, it is. But if it dies, it's not my responsibility.
Did anyone see the right to repair has finally passed in New York State?
Just New York, though.
That's okay. That's the precedent.
As long as it starts, then it'll come to Ohio eventually.
Also, if you can now purchase components for your MacBook or whatever in New York, you can just ship them from New York to your local repair center. And so
or to your house in your case.
It will very quickly propagate across the state.
Okay.
And
Ian is my Lewis Rossman, okay? Okay. He's my fix my Mac guy.
I intend to get I would love to get there at some point. Yeah.
Would you actually get like an Apple certified repair license just so you can repair them like as a side thing? No, you wouldn't.
I would never do the Apple certified stuff. Apple certified, basically they can sue you if they walk through your shop and see that you have any of their components or if you've even opened a MacBook and done something that is unauthorized. They'll like sue the shit
out
of you.
So you wouldn't, but you'd be willing to repair
some. I wouldn't, but I'd repair your stuff as an unauthorized technician who obviously has zero experience as an electrical engineer. Oh man, you're too stupid to fix that. One resistor died. Oh, you're an idiot. You can't fix that.
Here's the thing too, is that everything I've heard about like complaining about Apple device, we're gonna get back to me being a soy boy again. Every complaint that I've heard about Apple devices failing and dying is always like in extreme edge cases.
Not really, though. I mean, think about
What part of the media do you consume, Ian?
Very specific.
You Lewis consume Rossman, Lewis Rossman. Lewis Rossman's job is to repair MacBooks. Of course you hear about all the MacBooks breaking.
It seems, I don't know, but
because everyone I've talked to who owns a MacBook, they've said the exact opposite. I've had the same MacBook for 10 years and it still works.
But how many people have you talked to?
Shut up, Quentin.
Yeah, exactly. How many people have you?
I've talked to literally.
Quentin pulled up $22 flights to California to send Chandler on his way.
I'll fucking pay the $22 and get out of here.
What for $22? What am I flying in a Cessna 172? Like
no, that's Spirit.
No.
Oh no, I'm not standing the whole flight. Sorry.
You can sit in the back of the plane.
No, I sit in the cargo space. I'm stuffed into a luggage.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shove you in a luggage and throw you in the back of a plane.
Fun
and
fact,
you
if you they will notice I'm in there. It'll go through the x-ray machine.
Yeah. We're going to give you a free x-ray, bud.
I'm pretty sure like that.
We're going to give
cabin...
you free terminal cancer by just running you through this x-ray machine.
The cabin, I think, will depressurize, and in certain cases, I think a human could die if it stays.
Oh, no, they will just straight up die in the cargo. Yeah, because it's not a pressurized cargo.
No, cargo. Well, it depends on the plane. Some planes, cargo is
pressurized. Yeah, some planes are now.
Because, like, especially, like, if you're, apparently, a lot of people, when they fly with their pets go in storage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's, if the plane has a pressurized compartment, the plane, the dog would go in the in a cage in the storage compartment with all the luggage.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's pressurized.
Yeah, the dog doesn't just instantly die, unfortunately.
The dog touches the cargo hold and immediately drops dead.
Anyway, me being an Apple soy boy, I think part of the issue with
the episode from Rick and Morty, it's a deterrent. I guarantee if you touch me, you'll die. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, going back to Apple soy boy noises.
He's admitting it at this point.
It's a joke in this group now that I'm an Apple soy boy. So even though I have
how many soy boys can we soy boy?
You owned a Mac first.
That's ooh, my Kyle response. Kyle's the OG soy boy.
And you won a Tesla. So
this side of the table's the soy side of the table.
Yeah, Quentin drives a truck. He don't need no soy.
No,
yeah,
no what happened is if I was
Quentin
the OG.
The chains at the table.
If I was the OG and I've convinced Chandler and I'm going to convince Quentin, we're coming for you, Ian. You're going to be converted.
Oh, God. Whether you like it or not. I got to get out of here.
Let's just ignore the fact that I've had an IMAX since 2012.
Yeah, but you had one of the OG IMAX.
Back before they started, back when you could replace the RAM.
Yeah, that is true. Back when you could replace the RAM.
Yeah, literally. Okay.
I literally have thought about it.
Back when you could replace the display, actually. That was way back in the day when you could.
It's a Mac Mini.
Sorry, it is a Mac Mini. You're right. Back when there was at least
the display of the Mac Mini.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought it was a MacBook Air for some reason. I don't know why. I'm just dumb. But yeah, I don't know.
Even back in the day, you could replace the screen on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Louis Rossman purchased screens in bulk at one point for like the older MacBooks, like the 2011 and 2013 MacBooks.
You can still get older replacements from like Chinese companies that will look pretty close, but not as good as the Apple calibrated ones.
I have to say that the unified memory, since we're just talking about it, being integrated into the chip now, that can be shared between the CPU and GPU is actually
pretty cool.
Really cool. Because normally, you know, you get a CPU, you have your RAM for your CPU that normally get 8 gigs, 16 gigs, 32 gigs.
Well, no, modern APUs share the RAM.
That's true.
But they don't share as much of it. They're only allowed to share, like, I don't know, what is it? Whatever, 1/8 of it or something like that.
Mm. But, like, in a modern PC, you also get a graphics card that it itself has RAM called your VRAM.
Yeah,
right?
But like I said, with 90% of consumers who own a PC probably have one with integrated graphics.
You're not wrong about that. Yeah.
I think most consumers will have
an integrated computers
one.
Have APUs in them? Like,
most.
How many, right? Most of your
and
family.
Technically, the
buying.
MacBook is an APU.
Technically. Yeah.
But I guess what I'm saying is that.
In the traditional sense, like back in the 90s, traditional sense.
Well, even.
Back in ye olden days.
Back in ye olden days.
Well, to be fair, none of us existed, so.
Well, no, even on your normal consumer, like if you were to build yourself a gaming PC today, I'm talking about,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah. You graphics know? Card, CPU, RAM, and the RAM and CPU are linked, but the graphics card is its own RAM.
Yeah. Exactly.
We at the table get what you're saying.
Cool. Yes. How much RAM is in your graphics card?
I have 8 gigs of RAM.
VRAM.
VRAM, yeah.
Yeah. And how much does a 3090 Ti have?
12. Oh, wait, no. 3090. I think 24.
Yeah, 24 gigs. And that's like a crazy top-of-line card. But the crazy thing about the unified memory is you can have so much RAM
like
dedicated
to
VRAM.
64 gigs of RAM.
On the M1 Ultra, which is the one that Quentin was looking at.
The Ultra
Plus
Max 5G.
You can get up to 128 gigabytes of RAM, and all of it can be used by the GPU.
That is so crazy. You know, you literally cannot buy that on a desktop PC right now.
You can, but you're looking at server GPUs.
Yeah, server
Quadros. No, he's saying desktop grade, and this is
desktop grade pieces of hardware, yeah. So, I don't know. I would use server-grade shit in, like, a computer.
I mean, to be fair, I would, too. I have a server that runs at my house all the time.
Yep.
To be fair, it's running old gaming hardware, but still.
You also get to pay server prices then, though.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, like, how much is, like, a NVIDIA Tesla card? Aren't they, like, in the tens of thousands
of
dollars?
They're in the tens of thousands. It could be $50,000.
They're insane.
Yeah. So, Apple Silicon is, like, opening up this huge another market. So that's why I was talking about when the Pro comes out soon. I think it could totally be a game changer, especially when it comes to AI.
Kyle's next purchase.
Depending on the price, I'm highly speculative about it.
Well, no. So, like, I think Apple moving to ARM, which I, by the way, so Microsoft did it first. Quentin actually owned a device that ran. You still have that tablet? He has a Samsung tablet. It's a Snapdragon 835, and it runs full fat Windows. It has Windows for ARM on it. It had the same processor as my Pixel 2. And honestly, when I used it just for normal, like, internet, like, web browsery tasks, I would not have known that it wasn't running an x86 CPU. I could have told you it was. But here's the problem. The second he tried to run anything more than Firefox, it didn't work. It couldn't do it. Apple, on the other hand, I was able to run full fat Autodesk CAD on a MacBook Pro 13-inch, and I couldn't tell that it wasn't running on x86.
You would expect that from an Apple product, though. You would expect to be able to use.
I'm
that
saying
computer
that
for
Apple did
it.
I'm saying that Apple did ARM conversions correct.
They did it well. Yeah,
Apple did it right.
I'll give it to them. They did it right. I
hope that their technology comes to the desktop. I think that I see a future where our gaming PCs could run ARM. I think that is the path we're going down.
Hopefully everything compiles down to LLVM. It doesn't matter if it's x86 or ARM. Both will work.
No, I think we'll just improve the emulation, then it won't matter.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think no matter what, whichever one is native will have like 4 times performance than what is being emulated.
It's actually not 4 times on Apple Silicon.
You don't think so? What do you know what
it's
the roughly ratio is?
It's
half.
It's half. So an x86 application, one that runs in Rosetta 2 runs at half the speed of one that runs natively, which is actually not bad. It also depends on the application. So if it's more GPU heavy, it's a little faster.
Yeah. It just is unfortunate if you're doing something and it's an application that takes 10 minutes to run or something, now it's going to take 20 minutes. Like, times can go up.
Well, you can run CSGO on the M1 hardware.
With half the frames.
No, it runs at over 100 frames per second.
Yeah, but it would run 200 frames per second if it was the other thing.
I guess that's fair, but it's still impressive.
Yeah, it's still super impressive, though.
Yeah, although I got to say, who needs more than 120? Because anything past 120 isn't really too noticeable.
Yeah, you have to pay out the butt for a monitor that displays that.
A gamer would.
Give me my 144 hertz.
If well, you
there
breathe,
is a difference
there.
It's hard to tell, but there is a difference.
I was genuinely impressed that my M1 MacBook Pro came with a 120 hertz display. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was really
cool.
It's
getting more and more like increasingly common to
well,
see.
Well, my friend London recently purchased a gaming PC, and he was surprised that they come with 144 hertz displays now in the under $1,000 market.
Yep. It's slowly getting more and more common, which is
it's
good.
It's only 1080p, but he's still, like, he's never had a high refresh rate display on his gaming laptop.
You don't realize it, you know? Like, when you experience it, you're like, okay.
I had a friend who literally never realized it and couldn't even tell. Had a 144 hertz panel on a new computer.
I've noticed that the older you are, the less you care.
Yeah, that's true.
I showed my dad, and he's like, eh, whatever.
It's become less and less relevant for me.
Even Haley
doesn't give a shit.
She's just like, oh, it's kind of smooth. That's it.
It's become less and less relevant for me, if I'm being honest. I play so few video games.
And when
at this
you do,
point.
we play like Halo. We play it casually, and we get wrecked anyway.
And I can't even run like most of the modern games that we're playing at 100 up to 144 hertz. I'm lucky if I'm getting 60 at this point.
But what if you're reading documentation?
It does help a lot.
Smooth documentation.
You are not wrong about that. It makes such a difference for reading.
When you're scrolling at like 60 hertz. Things will be blurry.
You can tell, yeah. Things are blurry.
So you stop scrolling in order to read again. You scroll and you stop scrolling to read. At 120 hertz, you can read while you scroll.
You can read while you scroll, yeah. Assuming your response time is good enough.
Yeah, but assuming you have a good enough monitor and everything.
So the Google Pixel 6 and 6 Pro have that
120 hertz adaptive, I think.
I disable mine.
Oh, really?
And leave it at 60.
For battery?
60? No, because the weird thing is, so I love the movie, and I have to watch it when I don't have a headache. But I'm going to compare it to the 120 hertz, 60 hertz, and then this movie was filmed in 30 hertz.
The movie.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, I love that movie.
It's a good movie, and I have to watch it when I don't have a headache because the low refresh rate will give me a headache.
Oh, because they're animated on twos most of the movie?
Yeah.
So normally... Is that movie 30 FPS? I thought it was 24.
I think it's 35.
Really? Interesting.
Really?
I remember seeing somewhere it was close to 30.
Yeah. It wasn't 24 like a traditional movie.
Yeah, interesting.
But
because it's usually 12 animation frames and then interpolated. But
yeah.
Yeah. But either way, it was shortened FPS than what I'm used to for like video games.
Well, yeah, because don't you have like a really high refresh rate monitor on your gaming PC?
That's the weird thing too, because I'll let the refresh rate and go to where whatever it wants on my desktop, but when I'm reading on my phone,
you prefer 60.
Yeah, it gives me a headache too. I don't know why.
You also get headaches a lot when you play VR, though, so it might just be you're sensitive to, like, difference in screens and stuff.
Yeah, I do get a headache when I have VR. If I have a headache, I can't play it because it'll make the headache worse. If I don't have a headache, I'll have a headache when I'm done playing.
Interesting.
I wonder how that would change if you had a PC powerful enough to push an Index up to 144 hertz and actually hold it there.
So I have looked into that, but I have a Quest 2. I have looked into that.
I know the Quest 2 is 72 hertz.
You can there's a way to overclock the Quest.
Yeah,
the
but
Quest
they
now.
Do weird stuff with like screen shake, I thought.
Well,
but,
so
like,
you
make
can
it technically so 120, but
virtual desktop allows you to overclock it to 120, and it will allow you to wirelessly stream at 120 hertz.
Yeah.
If you have,
gotta have a good
a Wi-Fi 6
that.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good hardware.
Dave & Buster's has an Index.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried it?
No, it's Vader Immortal. I have the.
I've played Vader Immortal.
I have the mindset of I have that game already. Why
I
would
wanna,
I pay?
I kind of want to go play it though at 144 FPS.
I don't
wanna,
know. If
shit, you guys
want
to go to Dave & Buster's soon?
But the real question is, do they have a PC that's legitimately powerful enough?
I would hope they were sold a PC powerful enough to push it, but
you
I would not
know
be
that.
Surprised.
Companies are cheap.
The
right?
problem is, it takes like 20 tokens to play.
How much is that? 20 tokens was 21 token 25 cents.
No, way more than that, I'm sure. Probably close to $20.
Let me just pull up my handy dandy Dave & Buster's
probably
app.
Probably $1 a token, I would assume. That's just my,
that's what you're saying.
My
okay.
gut reaction.
$20 for the whole thing.
I remember yeah, that probably. Chuck E. Cheese when I was
so,
like 10, it was 25 cents
75
a token.
I remember you used to be able to use quarters at Chuck E. Cheese.
Hmm? What did you say it was?
It's around 20 cents a token.
20 cents
a
token?
Oh, 20 cents a token. So 20 cents times
$4?
20, $4.
Yeah, $4.
That's not bad. That's more reasonable.
Yeah.
But also, Dave & Buster's, the problem is that they suck you in because then, oh, yeah, I get to play these games for like 20 cents each, and then all of a sudden you're spending like $10 on a beer, and then you're spending $20 on chicken wings. And then
yep, at the end of the night, that was a fun $200 spent.
Yeah. I won a free appetizer. I won a free entree last time I went.
Yeah, can you if you play and you get tickets, do you get free food?
You can redeem it for free food.
Really?
That's kind of cool.
I got to play until I get free food. That's my solution.
Ski ball.
Feels expensive.
Ski ball will only give you at max 6 tickets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. That's the one I'd be on like all night.
That's why.
Yeah, that's why. They want you to play the other ones.
Oh, speaking of frame rates, though, I think it's really strange how all movies and stuff are still framed filmed even today at 24 FPS.
It's because everybody in the general populace is used to 24 or 30.
You know how jarring
if
it would be, like as an old person
60,
going to see a 60
would
FPS
scream
movie
and freak out. I would love to see a 60 FPS movie, but it's just not done
yes,
because it
please.
Would not sell well and no
please,
one would
Marvel,
watch it.
Please, please,
like,
please, please, please,
please, nasty.
Please, Marvel, okay, film the next unexpected. Marvel movie at 144 FPS.
So that's,
are there even 144 hertz projectors?
We can find them.
So you're right. Most movies, I was wrong. Most movies are still filmed at 24.
Yes.
And Into the Spider-Verse was filmed at 12.
12. Yeah.
12.
Yeah. So it was half of
it was
what
the
I'm
opposite.
Into the Spider-Verse is not filmed.
It's
you know?
Animated.
It's animated. Yeah.
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 Animated.
So
my bad.
So they have sections that are on ones.
Very typical of animation to be filmed
on
twos. So it's 12 frames
but I
a
feel
second
like
and then interpolated between them.
But like Pixar and stuff seem way smoother than that. I don't know. 12
it's
FPS seems
just,
way too low.
No, it, I believe that's what
it feels smooth at. If it has been interpolated. But Into the Spider-Verse, in a lot of cases, is not interpolated.
Intentionally?
It's on two.
Is it a stylistic choice?
Why they
choice?
Do that is because, yeah, it's a stylistic choice. It makes it look a certain way to your eye.
It so looks like a comic book.
Yeah, almost. it looks more comic book-like if you do that. And then in the fight scenes in particular, when they animate it on ones, your brain goes, this is crazy. I see, like, because your brain, it's almost like you unlock a superpower and you can see twice as fast, you know? So your brain is just like, this is so interesting, which makes the
I feel,
so,
like, I
feel
like
extra
that
special.
Would give me a headache as well. To be
have
totally
you seen
honest.
Into the Spider-Verse?
I have not, no.
Okay, no.
Is it still on Netflix? Or
no, this is
it
just
on
human
Disney.
Psychology, I guess. It's not necessarily, I don't think it would give
it
you a headache.
Put it on Disney Plus.
I feel like it
it's not either?
It's a
do you never watch animations
Spider-Man
or cartoons?
Very rarely at this point.
I have it on Amazon.
I watched a handful of anime later, or earlier, like a few years ago, but all of that
would
have been interpolated. Yeah, back when I was a weeb, I no longer am.
Even those oftentimes were not interpolated.
He still has a weeb profile picture, though, on Steam.
I do, mostly as a meme, because it's pretty funny.
Especially early anime, oftentimes they would have 1 frame per second in certain cases.
That sounds awful.
Most of the stuff that I was watching was not very early stuff. It was generally later on.
Yeah, it depends on how long ago you were a weeb.
I think the oldest film... Well, the oldest stuff that I watched was Studio Ghibli. So
I'm talking about like anything pre-2010, I think.
Definitely within pre-2010. I'd have to look up the list of the Ghibli films. But.
Yeah, all animation is super interesting to me. So
the only one I know that they have is Spirited Away.
Yep, Spirited Away is a great one.
That's not even... That's like surpassed anime culture. That's like pretty mainstream now.
Most of them are. Most of the Ghibli films are.
I think you guys should turn to weebs. Anime is great.
Nah, I'm good. Speaking of something, I don't have time for it anymore. Nah, neither do I, dude. I don't watch TV. The only time I watch TV is with Haley. So
I still watch too much YouTube.
But. Like, for example, of course, the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series is coming out.
Fucking awesome.
It is a great show. But, of course, Haley has to watch it, and I watch it with her because I love Star Wars. So that's, like, our thing. To be fair, we met because I was wearing a Star Wars shirt, and she thought
the
it was cute.
The oldest film that I tried to watch was Grave of the Fireflies, and I didn't make it through that. So the next oldest film that I've ever watched from 1988 is Totoro.
Meanwhile, I was shown really old films in class.
Anime is so good because it showcases a bunch of stories that really make you think about life, where normally shows are just like, haha, this is cool. Explosion thing. This is like, oh my
Star
goodness.
Star Wars is a lot more dramatic than you think.
I do like films that involve or have like real consequences where you start
human
with a
broken type
yeah,
stuff.
You start with a broken character and you end with a broken character because everybody is always broken and will always be because nobody is perfect and everyone is different.
Okay, look, I like watching Captain America kick ass, okay?
I don't disagree. That definitely should still exist.
It should still exist, but that's sort of my preference more. I prefer to see like a real human more towards that sort of thing.
Yeah, the problem
I'm
is
sure
like,
there are feel-good shows, whatever. But
my problem is like whenever I see shows that are normally non-animated related, they tend to steer more towards topics that are showy and less theoretical and thought-provoking. Even if it's like something internal, because in animation you can showcase stuff happening internally to someone way easier than you can.
I side with the mainstream consumer. I don't want to think about my problems while I'm watching a movie.
But you don't think about your problems. You think about their problems, and they learn from their problems.
No, I have anxiety. I'll start thinking about my problems. It's the issue.
There is one live action show that I think did a really, really good job of it. You've heard me talk about it, especially within recent weeks. Moon Knight.
I've heard of it.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's a Marvel show.
It's a Marvel show, but the character has dissociative identity disorder. So you see the constant conflict between the two personalities that he has.
It's more like, I thought it was more than two.
There's three.
It's three, yeah.
In the comics, there's three. In the show, there's two.
Okay.
But you show the conflict between the two characters. Because the one guy is named Steven. He's very reserved. He's British. He's very reserved. And then there's Mark, who's an ex-Marine, contract killer.
Is it ever revealed in the show which one is his real, like, identity?
Yes.
Yes, it is? Okay, I haven't seen it, so don't spoil it.
I wasn't going to.
Okay, I just didn't know if it was shown who he actually is.
It's a really good, well-constructed show, and it often makes you think... It does what you said, that it makes you think about his problems, like, how is he going to go about this? And obviously, it's Marvel, so it implements heroes and villains, and he's possessed by an Egyptian god.
Oh, it's that one. I have heard of this one. Okay.
It's very good. It makes you think.
I've heard Oscar Isaac is doing a great job at portraying the character.
Oh, yeah. Oscar Isaac.
So if you want another live-action show that's really good at displaying the human condition, there's two shows. They're related shows. I have watched half of the one. I need to finish it, and I haven't started watching the other one. Breaking Bad is extremely good, and Better Call Saul are both extremely good at showing the human condition.
I think I tried watching Breaking Bad at one point.
It is a very slow to start. It's a very slow show in the beginning.
Okay. You got to get past like the first season.
Once you're past the first season, it's great.
It's like a One Piece situation. After episode 500, I swear.
Well, I guess, better.
But there's only like six episodes in the first season.
Yeah, there's only six episodes in the first season. So you're familiar with it, Ian. Are you familiar with the plot of Breaking Bad?
Meth dealing general.
Well, no. So a chemistry teacher is diagnosed with cancer and he needs to pay off his medical debt.
Oh, so he starts making meth.
He starts making meth with a former dropout student of his.
Oh, very nice.
And then as the show goes on, it shows the human condition very well. And his brother-in-law is an agent for the Drug Enforcement Agency.
I know one of my family members recently watched.
It's a very good show.
Yeah, one of my.
Better Call Saul is a tie-in because I believe it wasn't Saul. Saul is like his lawyer, right?
And he eventually makes an auto turret.
Actually, the last episode he had an auto turret. Yeah, that I know, but I haven't finished the show yet. But it's a very good show from what I have watched about human condition and stuff.
Have you seen A Silent Voice, Kyle?
I have.
It was very good.
Yeah, I like that one.
I guess some people recently tried to cancel it on Twitter, saying that it's a bad show or something because they don't like it. And then,
people tried to cancel Turning Red, which is a Disney Pixar movie about puberty.
Yeah.
Tried to cancel that.
Honestly, that
Disney
tracks.
Doesn't have any more innocence. They're talking about puberty and identity. It was stupid. It was a kid's movie. Would you chill? Sorry, I had to get that out.
I've not seen that one, but
I did. I actually did watch it with Haley.
Is it good? Is it worth watching?
It would not.
I like Disney movies, so.
If you like Disney movies, you'll like it.
Okay.
But I would not tell Ian to watch it. Let's just say that. I would not tell the average, or I wouldn't even tell the average, like, consumer to watch it. I would tell, it is great if you have a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's great if you really like Disney, and that's it. Haley, everyone's like, it's inappropriate. Because everyone thought whenever you have to show them your panda, they for some reason thought that was meant something dirty.
Oh, interesting.
It didn't.
Isn't it like where she like turns into a bear or something? Like
it's a red panda.
Yeah, red panda.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw an ad for it, but I did not see it.
I will say that they had some questionable scenes in there that were a bit cringe, but other than that, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it seems like recently every Disney movie has some cringe scenes. And it's not
gotta
cringe.
Push the envelope a little.
Yeah, every time, which is why I guess that's part of the reason why all of the white uber conservative moms got all up in arms about it.
I imagine white uber conservative moms watching some form of like Japanese animated film. Oh god.
Oh my gosh, there are certain shows that I cannot believe we were shown as kids based on what we show kids today. It's really weird. There's a dichotomy, right?
Where like, dude, I love Johnny Bravo. What are you talking about?
Open. The crazy thing is, like, for kids, they're so much more sheltered today for certain shows. And they have access to the internet, and they can see all
the bad
stuff.
It's like the opposite. It's a huge dichotomy of, like, you can go watch porn whenever you want, and you can't see this on TV.
Yeah, you're not allowed to ever. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's terrible.
It also feels so weird to me, because back in the day, it was, like, all the, whatever, go outside, play, whatever, as long as you're home by the time the streetlights are on, you're good, whatever. And now, if you so much as tell your kids to go outside and you don't watch them, you're going to have CPS knocking at your door within the next 3 hours.
Mine
so.
Wasn't come home when the street lights come on. Come home whenever you can hear the coyotes howling.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, around the country, you can't see the coyote. If you hear the coyote, come inside.
I don't know. It makes me sad. I sort of feel like...
You did a very good job of... Like doing the accent to where you could hardly understand what the fuck you were saying.
That's the point.
Sorry, Haley, I didn't mean
Haley thinks my country accent is funny. That was like my West Virginian hillbilly. She
Sorry,
thinks it's
I didn't
funny.
Mean to interrupt the end.
No, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, kids are sheltered.
They really are. It does.
They're sheltered, but they're more unsheltered than ever.
It's weird.
It's weird. It is a weird dichotomy.
Well, Haley's mom was like making jokes about how, oh, Chandler's probably going to let his kids have computers when they're like 10, like when they're really young and they're going to have phones and everything. And I go, the hell they are. My kids aren't going to have a phone until they're 16.
That's a bad way to go about it, though, because their world is going to be nothing but technology. So if you
I know, it's
technology.
Weird. On the one hand, I agree with you, Kyle. But on the other hand, do I really want my kid having unfettered access to the internet?
So I have.
Yeah.
The best is you have to watch your kid, you know, to have them grow
That's
up and be responsible.
So much work. Can I have software do it?
Oh you, my God. You're
do you
a want
to be a good
Chandler.
Parent or not?
Why I don't
mean, it's
want,
your decision.
This is why I told Haley we're waiting.
This is why I don't want kids.
I don't want kids for
I
a long time.
I don't
want
to deal with this.
The crazy thing is most parents just don't. They just wing it. Isn't that the most crazy? In my opinion.
I mean, I guess we turned out
kids
fine.
Raising kids.
We really yeah. yeah. I don't know. It's such a terrifying thing to me.
Yeah, Ian,
I don't
do you think your parents knew what the hell they were doing?
No.
So
mine definitely didn't. Hey, they got divorced over it. No, it was a joke. Sorry.
Dark.
Yikes.
My mentality behind the whole, like, letting kids have phones or whatever
mm-hmm.
and doing what they do is the same mentality that I have with people. They, because ultimately they are people.
Yeah.
If they want to do it bad enough,
they're going to do it anyway.
They will do it anyway.
If there's a will, there's a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Thing and is, I hate though, to relate like, that. There's ease of access too, you know? Like it's been easier to will it anyway. More recently. It's
quite easy to look up porn now than it was back in the 80s.
What's yeah, before you had to wait internet? Line by line and sit there for 45 minutes hoping your parent didn't come in as a single image loaded.
Or instead, in the 80s you had to go to the in the 80s you had to go to the dirty store to get a magazine.
Yeah.
You had to turn on the TV, stay up really late and find the right channel and record that to the VCR and hope you're not
hope your parents don't see it.
Yeah. Hey, why is the red light on the VCR over there? Hold on.
So I guess that's the problem. It's like
Jimmy!
They're going to do it, but I would say if they're going to do it, they're going to put like 10 units of effort to doing it.
And rather like than how like much, hundreds of units of effort.
Yeah, so it's like how much they get for their 10 units of effort now is way more than they would get in the 80s. It would take 8 sure. units to get in the store, you know, and then like they would look at it in the store and maybe all their units would be gone and they like looked at it in the store. But now it's like one unit gets you as many HD 4K porn as you want.
4K?
I don't know.
You have to pay for that, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, as many 480p I mean, as you want.
That's
yeah,
just
sure.
my mentality. If they if they have a will enough that they want to do it, they're going to do it. They're going to find some way. That's just my mentality.
Casual Coder is getting deep into the human condition.
Yeah. So what a strange episode this has turned into.
if they want a phone, I know plenty of people that did this. Their parents wouldn't let them get a phone.
So they went and borrowed one from their friends?
They either borrowed one from their friends or bought like a spare one off of their friend but hid it.
Yeah.
I probably won't give my kid like a phone until they're like a teenager, but they'll have like a tablet probably.
You know what I want to do?
Or like ye olde iPod.
Why not a phone, though? I feel like that's, like, worse. It's, like, the only good functionality that is you can contact them and they can contact you is the only thing that's removed in that situation.
Yes, that's fair.
I don't know. Yeah. And I'm sure there's probably... You can block websites.
Can we go back to this? Let me just back a second. I don't want kids anytime soon because I feel like I would fuck them up very badly.
Well, I guess we're talking about ways in which kids could be messed up, you know? So
yeah.
I would F them up horribly.
There's an infinite number
Haley
of ways.
Haley would be fine, I think. I would screw them up. I'd be screaming about crypto and MacBooks. Like, as soon as their first word.
I'm taking a flight to California, by the way.
Son of a bitch. No, the video died again. You know what?
Thank you guys for watching Casual Coders. That might be this episode.
Bye. Sorry, guys, been blocked. We kept losing video.
Wow.
Bye, you guys.
Hope you enjoyed. Bye now.